Parashas Matos Masse, we are in the middle of Bein HaMetzarim, and therefore we would like in our Parashas here to make special focus on the Avoda of Bein HaMetzarim through the prism of the Parashas HaShavua. So we're going to look, Be'ezus Hashem, at Parashas Masse, which is the second of this week's Parashios. And the Torah writes as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael that when you enter Eretz Yisrael, V'hoirashtem es kol yeshvei ha'aretz. V'hoirashtem means you will drive out all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, following which, V'yeshavtem bo, and you will inhabit Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban famously comments on this pasuk, and he says, "Al daiti, in my opinion, zu mitzvas asei. This is in fact a mitzvah. It's not just a prediction that you will enter Eretz Yisrael and this is what will happen, but rather, it's a mandate. You must inhabit Eretz Yisrael. Yetzave oisam. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command to Klal Yisrael." Sheyeshvu ba'aretz, that they must inhabit the land. And then he adds very critical words that we'll come back to. V'loy yim'asu b'nachras Hashem. They mustn't despise in any way this very precious gift of Eretz Yisrael. And he says again, once again in the continuation, b'ka nitztavinu b'mitzvah hazu. We have been instructed in this mitzvah. The Torah is clearly telling us it's a mitzvahs asei. It's a mitzvahs asei. This is the very famous opinion of the Ramban. Not everybody agrees. The Ramban might well disagree, at least Bizman Hazeh. But this is the famous opinion of the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah at all times to inhabit Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban, in fact, in Sefer HaMitzvahs, says, Nitztavinu lo reshes ha'aretz. We have been instructed to inherit the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not to leave it in the hands of the Goyim. And he quotes once again, our posuk of V'hoirashtem es ha'aretz, you must drive out the enemy and inhabit the land. And he speaks about this at great length. So much so that he concludes by bringing a Sifri. The Sifri says there was a story with Rabbi Yehuda, with Rabbi Matisyah, Rabbi Hananya, Rabbi Yeshua, a whole list of very prominent Tanoim. They left Chutz La'aretz and they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, they just recalled Eretz Yisrael even before they had arrived there. And their eyes, they looked up as they approached Eretz Yisrael, v'zolgu dimoiseyen, and their eyes poured tears because they remembered the tremendous mitzvah of inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. And the Sifri concludes with incredible words, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, is shkula, is equitable, keneged kol ha-mitzvos shabbatayra. Phenomenal words of the Sifri. Living in Eretz Yisrael is comparable, is equitable to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. It's very important to point out that it's explicit in the words of the Ramban that the mitzvah is not merely to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, but apparently part and parcel of the mitzvah is to be koivesh, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to drive out the goyim. The Ramban clearly stressed that. He says the mitzvah is not to leave the land in the hands of the goyim, but rather to live in it. Why can't the two coexist? Let the Goyim remain in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yidden side by side. The Mefarshim explain, one of the Gedolei Achronim, the Yeshuas Malkoi, has a tshuva, And he emphasizes that according to the Ramban, the mitzvah is Yerusha v'yeshiva. You have to both capture the land and then inherit it. He says a part of the mitzvah is Shetia tachas Yerushaseinu, the Klal Yisrael should be the one who have the mandate over Eretz Yisrael. They should be controlling things. And this, I think, is a critical point. Why is the Ramban stressing that part and parcel of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the fact that you have to be Koivesh Eretz Yisrael, Vohirashtem? It's true. He's seeing it in the Pasuk, Vohirashtem Esoretz V'yeshavtem Bo. But why indeed is that a critical part of the mitzvah? How they get into Eretz Yisrael and what they do with the Goyim once they arrive there, why is that important? The main thing is inhabit Eretz Yisrael. Inhabit Eretz Yisrael. So, I think the explanation could well be as follows. There is a very famous Ramban, another Ramban, at the end of Parashas Achrei Mois, a very famous and very fundamental piece in the Ramban. And the Ramban refers to a Yesod that we have mentioned a number of times in our Shir, Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. What does that mean, Ki Chelek Hashem? We are, Klal Yisrael are his nation, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lot. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chelek. So the Ramban lays down the very critical Yesod, and that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created several nations and has given every single nation a land and a mazel, which as it were dictates their fate. Of course, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's dictating that mazel. But they are, as it were, under the jurisdiction of a certain star or a certain mazel. Aval, there's one exception. Who is that? And where is that? That's Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's different rules. Who governs? Under whose jurisdiction is Eretz Yisrael? Loi nosan oleho min hamalochim. There's no malach. There's no moishel. There's no koichov. There's no mazel. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidoi u'ba'atzmoi supervises, governs, has direct hashkocha over Eretz Yisrael. Ki hivdil oisonu mikol ho'amim. In that way we have become separated from amongst all the nations. All the nations have sorim. They have some masters, some rulers leading over them. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is the land of Klal Yisrael, and the Hashkocha there is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, direct. And that's what it means, Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. Our nation, we are the Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All other Amim are not the Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, the dominion under the jurisdiction of some external force, whether it's a koichov or a mazel, whatever that means. Not so with Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ramban, that's what Chazal mean with the startling words in the end of Ksubas. Whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz, kemi she'ein loy Eloika. It's as if he doesn't have a God. What does that mean? People in Chutz La'aretz are not mechuyev to keep Torah, they're not Jewish. Says the Ramban, Chas v'Sholom, that's not what it means. Rather, it means that this extra special hashkocha that pertains to Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael only does not exist in the rest of the world. So if one lives in Chutz La'aretz, kemi she'ein lo Eloika, means one doesn't have that direct kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's through the medium, there's some emtzoi. And he says, and once again, he quotes this Sifri, that Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael is shokul, is like all the mitzvahs. This Ramban, as mentioned, we have discussed in previous occasions. And it really goes back, we have to turn the clock back to the beginning of our history, and it's a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right back when we turn the clock to the Dor HaFloga, 70 nations became formed, 70 languages were created, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'nofal goyroloi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected that even though there are 70 nations with 70 languages, with 70 lands, but my nation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Klal Yisrael. Shenema ki chelek Hashem amoy. Which is my chelek, as it were, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael. The Ramban has taught us a critical addition, that ki chelek Hashem amoy is only manifest in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, this is a posuk. It's essentially a posuk in Parashas Ekev when it says, it talks about Eretz Yisrael and it says it's the land. Asher Hashem Elokecha doyresh oisa tomid, einei Hashem Elokecha bo. The eyes, kaviyochol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are constantly supervising this land. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mashkiach over the entire world? Chas v'shalom to think that. But rather the Hashkocha throughout the world and throughout the nations is through an intermediary. But Eine Hashem Elokecha bo, the direct jurisdiction, the direct control and Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Klal Yisrael is the Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ois HaTomid, is only in Eretz Yisrael. The Rashba in a tshuva was asked this very question. What did Chazal mean when they said that anybody who lives in Chutz La'aretz doesn't have a God? So he says exactly the same, Lefi she'eretz Yisrael is Nachalas Hashem. And it's meyuchud, v'loy l'sorei ma'ala, there's no ministers in heaven, there's no other force. When we were zeicha to the brachas, all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, you might well remember, we've discussed this in previous years. You remember the brocha that Yitzchok gave, thinking it was Yaakov, V'yitein l'cho ha'eloikim mital ha'shomayim u'mishmani ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it to you. But when, second time round, Yitzchok then benches Esav, it seems to be almost the same bracha. He says to him also, Mashmanim and Tal, but he does not mention Elohim. You may well get it, but it will not be directly from Elohim. Rabbeinu Bachai points this out. Says the Rashba, that's what it means. In Chutz La'aretz, there is indirect Hashkocha. But in Eretz Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, there is direct HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no other control by any other force other than the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. There is an incredible addition to this in the Ran. In the Drashas HaRan, he says, once again, quoting this very Gemara, that if you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's Kemisha Ein Le'eloika. And he says, because all other lands have some type of sar or mazel, and he says there, if somebody lives in Chutz La'aretz, ein tfilosoi nishma'as kolkach. His tfilos are not listened to the extent that they are be'eretz Yisrael. An unbelievable statement of the Ran. The tfilos in Chutz La'aretz are different, are accepted differently to those in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Chutz La'aretz, they have to go through the intermediary, the Kechovim, the Mazolos, but not in Eretz Yisrael. Direct Kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think, therefore, that that's what the Rambam means. An absolute integral chelek of this mitzvah is not just to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, but to drive out the goyim, to clearly demonstrate that you understand that in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, there is no other force that has control. If the mitzvah would merely be to inhabit Eretz Yisrael but live side by side with the goyim, that's not a kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has to be that I'm living ki chelek Hashem amoy. I drive out the goyim to clearly show that they will not rule over Klal Yisrael. Because once I'm in Eretz Yisrael, einei Hashem elokecha bo. It's direct hashkocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Ramban is learning that part and parcel of this mitzvah is not just to live, to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, but rather to drive out the goyim. Klal Yisrael will not be dictated to. Klal Yisrael will not be ruled over by any koyach whatsoever, at least in Eretz Yisrael, only by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that will therefore be the fulfillment of Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. I was asked a few weeks ago by a brother-in-law of mine who was visiting from Manchester, England, and he pointed my attention to this very Ramban, in particular to the words that we highlighted before. The Ramban says that there's a mitzvah to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, and then he added, "Veloy yimasu," and they mustn't ridicule or despise in any way Benachlas Hashem. And my brother-in-law asked me, why is the Ramban adding those words? Where does the Ramban see any hint to that in the Pasuk? Why is that a critical part of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, as mentioned before, to drive out the goyim as well. But what does the Ramban mean when he adds, not to despise Eretz Yisrael? What does that mean? Where is it hinted to? So I'd like to suggest, if I may, the following interpretation. And this, as mentioned, is extremely timely. We titled the shiur today, True Appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. Those of us who are zoicha to live here, all of us who aspire to live here, we need to know what it is, what does it mean to live in Eretz Yisrael. We are aware, partly as mentioned, of the tremendous long list of milers of Eretz Yisrael. As we've just mentioned, the Ramban, the Rashba, special Hashkocha. We just mentioned the Ran. The Ran says that the Tfilos in Eretz Yisrael are different. As we well know, all of Chutz La'aretz daven in the direction of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh. There's a Medrash that says, Ein Torah Ketoiras Eretz Yisrael. Even the Torah is different. Everything is different. Everything is different. Let me share with you a phenomenal Chasam Sofer. This Chasam Sofer is in Drashas, and like so many other pieces in the Chasam Sofer, only the Chasam Sofer could write the following words. Absolutely incredible words. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow him to get close to the border and to look into Eretz Yisrael. That's as far as he could go. Says the Pasuk, Va'eschanan el Hashem bo'es hahi leimor. And I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment, leimor. So the Chasam Sofer quotes his great Rebbe, the Hafla, who has a fascinating translation of that pasuk, Va'eschanan el Hashem, and I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'es hahi at that moment. Do you know what I davened? That leimor, that I should be able to speak. Va'eschanan el Hashem, what was the tefillah? The tefillah was leimor, that I should be able to talk. Like we introduce every davening, Hashem sfosai tiftach, please help, open my lips. Allow me to daven. That's how the Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, translates this pasuk, with the obvious question being, why only at this moment, all of a sudden, does Moshe Rabbeinu see it necessary to request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me, Lemoir? Moshe Rabbeinu has spoken to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on countless occasions. We don't ever find that he requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, please grant me the Siyata Dishmaya, help me talk. So the Chasam Sofer says such a remarkable thing. As mentioned, only the Chasam Sofer could say this. Says the Chasam Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu was comfortable, as it were, talking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights together with the Ribbono Shel Olam, no problem talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know when he had a problem? When he entered close territory to Eretz Yisrael. Just looking into Eretz Yisrael, he was overwhelmed with the feeling of Kedusha, with such trepidation that he couldn't actually talk. Says the Chasam Sofer, like I said, only the Chasam Sofer could write this. There was more Kedusha just on the border of Eretz Yisrael, not even entering Eretz Yisrael. It was more Kadosh there than what he felt 40 days in Shomayim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki karka Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, kudushoso atzumo yose, is more kadosh than Shomayim together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A quite mind-blowing statement. Voeschanan el Hashem, bo'eis ha'hi, at that particular moment, for the first time in Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he had become close. He didn't enter, but he got close to Eretz Yisrael. He was so moved, overwhelmed with the Kedusha, he for the first time was unable to speak. So he needed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what? Lemoir, help me speak. An unbelievable Chasam Sofer. He had no problem talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 40 days or 40 nights in Shomayim. It was less Kodesh there than just standing by the border of Eretz Yisrael. A mind-boggling thing, which means, can you imagine actually entering Eretz Yisrael? What Kedusha that must be? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Zeicher. Moshe Rabbeinu just stood at the border. So we see that the tefillos are different, the hashgacha is different, the Torah is different, the Kedusha is different. In other words, everything is different. And here therefore comes the big question, which the Mira Rosh Hashiva asks. Yesh lehispale oleinu. We need to ask a pele, a huge question. We live in Eretz Yisrael, so why don't we feel kuro'u, the hashpa of Eretz Yisrael? A question that shakes us up. If we've just said that the Torah is different, and the Hashkocha is different, and the Tefillah is different, and the Kedusha is different, asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Ein onu margishim. Why is it that we who are Zoicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, we don't feel it? We don't feel this tremendous Aliyah and the Hashpa that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. Why don't we feel? Are we numbed? Are we unaware? A very poignant question. A soul-searching question that the Meir Rosh Hashiva asks. So listen to his frightening answer. Moshe Rabbeinu, as mentioned, was not allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael. Even his body, after death, was not brought into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was Yosef HaTzadik allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael? As it says, the Atzmos Yosef entered Eretz Yisrael, Va'ani Eini Nichnas La'aretz. Why is it? Am I worse off than Yosef HaTzadik? I'm not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael, alive or dead? Answers Moshe, answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef HaTzadik was accused. He was called the Ish Ivri, the Jew. That's what his mistress called him. Hevi lanu Ish Ivri. And he never denied that. He was proud of it. And in fact, he said, Gonoiv gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. I've been taken from the land of Ivrim. Yes, I'm proud. I am an Ivri. So Yosef HaTzadik is zeicha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. However, you Moshe Rabbeinu, do you remember? The daughters of Yisrael, what did they refer to you as? They said to their father, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. An Egyptian person saved us. And what did you respond? Shomea v'shosek. You didn't respond. You heard it and remained silent. You did not respond to the accusation, as it were, that you are an Ish Mitzri. So you can't come into Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz? Surely if the Benois Yisrael called him an Ish Mitzri, they're not just accusing him of not coming from Eretz Yisrael, they're in fact calling him a non-Jew. And we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu was criticized for not responding to that. So why was he punished so severely? Why did you not respond to the fact that they call you an Egyptian? You come from Mitzrayim. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, to recognize Eretz Yisrael is the ticket to be Zeicha to Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't recognize it, it's not a punishment. It's just incompatible. If you don't recognize Eretz Yisrael, you are not shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. If you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael, when the Bnei Yisrael called him an Ish Mitzri, and Moshe did not respond, Moshe Rabbeinu on his lofty level was showing some, as it were, lack of connection to Eretz Yisrael. Lack of appreciation to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rosh Hashiva, Umikan Limud Avureinu. This is a tremendous lesson for us. Listen to his words. Bekedei lekabel es hashefa. In order to truly be the recipient of the outpouring of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Shefa in Eretz Yisrael, yesh tnai. There's a condition that you have to be makir b'ma'alosa u'b'chashivusa. The question that Reb Chaim asked, why is it that we live in Eretz Yisrael and we don't necessarily feel all the tremendous shefa? And the answer is because you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael enough. It's not as a punishment. But in order to truly appreciate Eretz Yisrael, that's the ticket to enter Eretz Yisrael, to be mekabel the shefa of Eretz Yisrael. If you don't feel that, Rak al yedei haragosha zu. It's only because of this feeling. If you have that feeling, that true appreciation of Eretz Yisrael, then nichnas ha'odom tachas ha'hashpo hamyuchedes la'aretz. Then and only then can a person be zeicha to all the brachos and the hashkacha and the kedusha and the Torah and everything that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. And he says there in conclusion, he says, maybe, just maybe, that's why Klal Yisrael, when they sinned with the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. But when they sinned with Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not forgive them. And they could not enter Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Was that a worse Avera than the Egel? Does that deserve a more severe punishment? And you know what the answer is? It's not a punishment. But if you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael, you speak badly of Eretz Yisrael, you're no longer compatible to Eretz Yisrael. So I can't let you in. It's not that I don't allow you into Eretz Yisrael. You don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. That's why indeed they could not enter. I once saw Rabbi Isai that the Dubne Magid says exactly the same. But Kedarka Bakoidesh, listen to the wonderful Moshel. He illustrates this, the Dubna Magid, with a fantastic Moshel. And he asks the same question. Why were the Meraglim, the Chait of the Meraglim, as a result of which they could not enter Eretz Yisrael? And he talks about the following. He says there was somebody who had a son, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and it came to the age of Shiduchim. The father of this Talmud Chacham, who himself was undoubtedly a Talmud Chacham in his own right, however, did not have any money. A Shadchan suggested the daughter of a very wealthy individual. Surely it would be a wonderful Shidduch. He would be able to support the young couple. He would be zeicha to a son-in-law, a Talmud Chacham. What could be better than that? The Shadchan goes up to this individual and says, I have a suggestion for you. A Talmud Chacham, a tremendous bocha, a big masmid, a bal midas, a Yerushalmayim. The only thing is, the father of this boy has no money. And in order, if you'd want to be meshadach with them, you're going to have to pay the expenses of the wedding and to support the young couple. But surely it's worth it. You have the financial wherewithal. And you could be zeicha to a tremendous son-in-law of a Talmud Chacham. It's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So the father of the girl says, listen, I agree, but on one condition. I'm not prepared to pay for absolutely everything. I should just be taken for a ride. I should pay for the clothes, the jewelry, the wedding, the support, the apartment, for everything that I'm not prepared to do. So I insist that the father of this boy at least pays for one set of jewelry for my daughter. At least one thing. At least then I'll feel that we're going together, even though it's 99% me. But at least he's paying for the tachshitim, for the jewelry. Okay, sounds like a reasonable request. The Shadchan goes to the other side, the father of this Talmud Chacham, and says, the father of the girl is willing to go ahead, but on condition that you fund the tachshit, the jewelry for the girl. Says this particular individual, what should I tell you? I have no money. I'm unable to do so. The Shadchan goes back to the father of the girl. He says he's unable to pay for the jewelry. He says, I'm sorry, I told you, I'm not willing to pay for 100%. Go back and tell the father of this boy that if he doesn't pay for the jewelry, there's no shidduch. He goes back again, the Shadchan, and says to the father of the boy, listen, maybe just one set, one pair of earrings, one neck. No, I can't. I posh it, don't have any money. But the other side said, if you don't fund it, there's going to be no shidduch. What should I do? I can't fund it. So the Shadchan goes back again to the father of the girl, and he's unmoved. Sorry, no jewelry, no shidduch. Okay, the shidduch is off. The Shadchan, after a while, comes back to the father of the girl and says, listen, maybe you should rethink this. You're willing to give up a shidduch like this because of a pair of earrings? Because of a necklace? You're willing to pay for everything, for the wedding, the clothing, the apartment, for everything. One set of jewelry, that's what you're going to insist on? You're going to lose a shidduch like this? Maybe you should rethink it. And he rethinks it and he says, you're right, I made a mistake. It's back on. I'm willing to pay for everything. Oh, wonderful. The Shadchan goes back to the father of the boy and says, I've got good news. The shidduch is back on. Says the father of the boy, no, it's not. It's off. Says, why? Because he insisted about the jewelry. No, he's willing to pay for the jewelry. No, I'm not willing to reconsider the shidduch. Says the Shadchan, why are you so upset with him? You're so insulted? Says the father of the boy, listen to the moshel of the Dubna Magid. He says, no, I'm not upset. I'm not insulted. But I know that my son is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. If the father of this girl was willing to give up my son-in-law as a possibility, my son a Talmud Chacham, why? Because of a pair of jewelry? He clearly doesn't appreciate Torah enough. So it's not a good shidduch. It's not compatible. We are a family who do value Torah. So the reason why the shidduch is off is not because I'm upset or insulted, but I've realized it's not compatible anymore. He clearly doesn't value Torah enough. Had he only valued Torah enough, he never would have thought, he never would have dreamt of calling off the shidduch just because I couldn't pay for the jewelry. He doesn't value Torah enough. It's just not a good shidduch. It's not compatible. Says the Dubna Magid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. It's not so much as a punishment, but it's not a good shidduch. If you don't value Eretz Yisrael, then you're not shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a good shidduch. So you can't come in. Not because Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset or disappointed or insulted, but I see you're incompatible to Eretz Yisrael. In order to truly be zeicher to Eretz Yisrael, you have to appreciate Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael, you cannot be zeicher either to live in Eretz Yisrael or to be zeicher to all the hashpois and the brachos and the Torah and the Kedusha and everything that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. And I think, therefore, that's what the Ramban meant. The Ramban said it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And then he added, V'loy yim'asu b'nachlas Hashem. But not to despise Eretz Yisrael. And we asked, why is the Ramban adding that? Where is that inherent in the mitzvah? But now we understand that is an indispensable part of the mitzvah. That is integral to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that you are not yimasu, you don't chas v'shalom, not mezalzel in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because if you are, well indeed, then you can't be zoicha to inhabit Eretz Yisrael. So it's not just an additional maila, it's an absolute prerequisite. If you are mayas in Eretz Yisrael, like the Meraglim, and the chait of the Meraglim and Klal Yisrael were, well then you can't inhabit Eretz Yisrael, not as a punishment, because it's not a good shidduch, because you're incompatible. So in conclusion, we have to point out, as we are now deep into the Bein HaMetzarim, those of us who are zeiche indeed to live in Eretz Yisrael, the soul searching question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we indeed appreciate, do we value Eretz Yisrael enough? How many G'dayle Hadoyr over the course of generations were desperate to come to Eretz Yisrael? The Vilna Goyen and the Chofetz Chaim and so many others, and they didn't make it. They were not Zeicha to that we were Zeicha. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the famous Baal HaKuzari, wrote, Libi Bamizrach, my heart is in the east, my heart is in Eretz Yisrael, even though I live in Spain. But that's where my heart is. He was pining for Eretz Yisrael. He was indeed zeicha eventually to make it to Eretz Yisrael, but tragically on the first day of his arrival, he was killed by an Arab. So you see that throughout the generations, how many G'dayli Yisrael and members of Klal Yisrael were so desperate and were forever aspiring to live in Eretz Yisrael. So those of us who are zeicha to it, the question that we need to ask and indeed answer, do we value Eretz Yisrael enough? Because if we don't, as the Mir Rosh Hashiva explained, then we can't be zeicha to everything that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. That special hashkacha, the Eine Hashem Elokecha Bo, the special Siyata Deshmaya, the Hatzlacha in Torah, the Kedusha, the Tfilos, etc., etc. Undoubtedly, we see in Eretz Yisrael, more than in any place in the world, the tremendous explosion of the Olam HaTorah, yeshivas, yeshiva ketanas, yeshiva gedolas, kolelim, those are kaveya itim, a tremendous spread of Limud Torah. But do we feel that siyata dishmaya with our Limud Torah? Do we feel that siyata deshmaya with our tefillah? This is the time of year for some stock-taking and some soul-searching. Do we truly appreciate Eretz Yisrael? Do we appreciate the tremendous zechus that we have indeed to live in Eretz Yisrael? Because the more we do, the more we become compatible with Eretz Yisrael. The more we become a good shidduch with Eretz Yisrael. And that way, we could be zeiche indeed to all the hashpoyas of Eretz Yisrael. So may indeed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen, that at the time of year that we lack, that we mourn, not being able to live in Eretz Yisrael the way we should. Even those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael, but we know this is not what Eretz Yisrael should truly look like. It's precisely at this time of the year where we are stopping to be misboinein. What does Eretz Yisrael mean to us? What does it mean to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To have a Beis HaMikdash? To have that Kirvas Elohim Litoiv? In that Zechus, then we too will be zeicha b'korev to truly experience that hashpo, that kedusha, and everything that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. B'bias Mashiach Tzedkenu, may it be b'mheira b'yomenu. Amen.